Genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
So Howard Dean thinks that Donald Trump's doing coke. Maybe he feels good. Come on, Howard, because the listening to Trump on Monday, he had some sniffles or whatever. He sniffed here and there. So he must be doing cocaine, says Howard Dean. Okay. So it is. Donald Trump clarified his position on climate change, by the way. He says that he believes that it's happening and believes it's a natural cycle and occurrence. I think a lot of you think the same thing. Hell, I think a lot of Democrats think the same thing. At any rate, I don't care what they think. Let's hear what Todd Wood thinks, our next guest. Todd, welcome back to the program.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
How are things?
Things are good.
Good. All right. Did you watch the debate?
I did. I sure did, yeah.
All right. You score it for me, and don't be a homer. Just tell me what you think honestly.
I think Trump did better than most people realize. There's only one thing he had to do, which is to present himself as a credible, viable alternative to Hillary. And he did that, and that's all he needed to do. And if he does that, he's elected. She's unelectable based on her criminality and everything else. So I think he did extremely well. You know, he lost on style points, maybe, but he won votes, and that's what counts.
Well, he got lost in the weeds a few times. I think we'll agree on that.
Yeah.
You know, talking about the birther or, you know, other stuff, yeah, nobody cares. And this whole thing, let's be square about this. The whole thing about his tax return, I don't think it's going to swing many votes. It could swing a handful, depending on how it's handled. But I had this whole conversation with a friend of mine yesterday who's a conservative, but he thinks that the whole tax thing's a big problem because it makes it look like Donald Trump didn't pay his taxes. And that's the problem if you're wealthy, because you don't pay the same tax rates as somebody who has a W-2 income, like most of the world. So when you go back and you say, well, I paid 15% capital gains, and then my accountant, you know, did this and that, and I didn't pay much in federal taxes. I didn't break the law. I followed the rules. But, you know, the majority of people just don't understand that. I think that's a no-win for anybody that's ever made any money in their life. What do you think?
I think Trump should do what he does best, which is just be honest. He said, you know, it makes me look smart, and just... that's the truth, you know.
But it comes across as condescending and arrogant. That's the problem. And it gets used against you. I'm smart to not pay taxes. I'm smart to not support the military. I'm smart to not support local schools. Because that's how it's spun every time.
Yeah, well, it's the truth. So I don't know how you get around that.
I don't know either.
You just explain it. It's a
no-win is what it is for the Republicans. At any rate, I thought that he did well on the first part of the debate for sure, NAFTA and TPP. And he's also doing better now with former members of, like, the Bush administration. 50 former Bush appointees now have endorsed Donald Trump. That's in the last 48 hours. So these are important names that are coming along. People like Donald Rumsfeld, Matt Schlapp, Ari Fleischer, Elaine Chao, and a whole host of people. It seems like the base is finally moving towards Donald Trump. Is that what you're picking up on as well?
Yeah, I am. I sure am. Because people see the alternative, which is unacceptable.
Absolutely. All right. So let's shift to something different, which is national security, which is your bailiwick, if you will. And looking at the United States Air Force losing its fighter jet edge to both Russia and China because we're going to the boneyard to pick up spare parts instead of having, you know, the equipment we need. That's a real problem going forward.
Yeah, it is. And I think I've said this before, one of the things that Trump could do, which would really shock the world and I guess, throw down a marker that the U.S. is back in a big way, is to do what Reagan did when he restarted the B-1B production line. But I think they should restart the F-22 production line. You know, we only bought 200 of the 700 fighters the Air Force wanted. So I think that would be, the technology is old, but it can be updated, you know, through the production development process.
And where is, let me ask you this, because I haven't heard about this in a while, but where's the F-35? Still in having trouble?
You read all these reports that it's never going to be ready, that, you know, one caught fire last week based on the composites, and burned part of the airplane. I mean, there's problems, obviously, with any development or any aircraft. As a former pilot, I realize that. But, you know, I've got concerns. We're buying 2,500 of those planes, and if something can do everything, it's going to be good at nothing. So, you know, I'm concerned. I know how the Air Force works, and the generals, you know, like their pet projects, and they always try to change things to meet that, you know, what the aircraft can do. But I'm concerned that they're going to try to use this thing to do things it really can't do, like ground attack and other things.
Close air support, the Warthogs.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah,
the Warthog that they keep trying to retire, the A-10, still a superior aircraft when it gets into close, slow-speed ground support. There's nothing quite like it.
That's true. And, you know, we've got several hundred of those left, and we should keep those in the out years for sure.
Yeah, but every year you hear somebody trying to shut down the Warthog program.
Well, that's the generals that people need to understand. The Air Force is run by fighter pilots, and you know, except for a brief period when my old commander Norty Schwartz was the commander in chief or chief of staff. I mean, from a special operations perspective after 9/11. But you know, it's really a fighter pilots Air Force, and that's what runs everything. And you know, that's why they don't like the A-10.
So when it comes to dealing with the Russians, and more specifically the Chinese, in my estimation, what is it going to take besides adding, you know, a couple hundred more F-22s or restarting that line? What else can be done? Because the Chinese, as you well know, are creating land out of water in the South, you know, in the South China Sea and other places, creating military bases that in places there was no land to build anything before, creating islands, and then declaring sovereignty over that part of the ocean. It's pretty serious stuff.
It's hugely serious. And, you know, the funny thing is, every time China develops a new plane, they strangely look just like ours.
Isn't that weird?
What's that?
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. And you know, the first thing we can do is keep them from stealing our technology, first of all. And so they're not good at developing things on their own. So that's number one. But then, you know, the sixth-generation fighter is obviously in development, and we need to push that along with the B-21, which is the new bomber that, you know, they're developing and soon will be in production. And hopefully we'll buy enough of those as well instead of 22 of the B-2, which we have now, which is ridiculous.
We're with Todd Wood this morning, journalist for The Washington Times and an accomplished writer. We'll tell you about his books here in a moment. Where else, when you look around the playing field, if you will, Todd, do you see deficiencies in the U.S. military for what we're facing worldwide, from home to global needs? What do you see?
Well, I've written about this a lot. I think the focus really needs to shift back to a more conventional, you know, agenda. We always try to fight the last war, and we're very good at special operations now, which obviously is a good capability, but that's not going to be the next conflict. The next one's going to be conventional with tanks, planes, ships, and that's where we need to rebuild, just like Russia is doing very well, I might add.
That because Russia has no debt, they have the ability to have a little more flexibility. But you've pointed that out here. Because of Russia's very low debt, they have sometimes more options at their fingertips. Now, hold that thought right there. When we come back, I want to talk about something completely different we were just talking about. As I told you earlier in the program, the United States owes black people reparations for a history of, quote, racial terrorism. So says the United Nations. The United Nations saying that America, because of its terrible history on human rights and such, owes black people money. We'll talk about it with Todd Wood, and we'll also get into Black Lives Matter and where we are today right after the break on The Steve Gruber Show.